flower in place the right way, you get noticed. I thought about being on that board just to stir up some trouble.
I used to be president.
At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of June 10th, 2024, and the time is now 6:02 p.m. I'd appreciate it if y'all would consider please turning your phones off or set them on silent or vibrate during our meeting. We'd appreciate it. Thank you. Have you called the roll, Donna?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personal matters or matters under litigation for a length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No council, board, or discussion or action may take place on a matter until such matter has been placed on our agenda or on an agenda posted in accordance with the law. Are there any public comments or received petitions at this time, Ms. Kim?
No.
All right. Steph, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
Yes, just that last month's zoning case was approved by City Council, and that was the neighborhood retail rezoning at the southwest corner of Tice Lane and South Cherry Street. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Minutes approval. Okay. Considerations approved the minutes of the special joint City Council and Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of May 6, 2024. Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there any corrections to the minutes or discussion? Seeing none, would you please call our roll?
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tagg?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. D2, consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of May 13th, 2024. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of May 13th, 2024?
I move we approve the minutes of May 13th, 2024.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there any corrections or discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, would you please call the roll, Ms. Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Tagg?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. D3, we have a lot of minutes to approve. Consideration to approve the minutes of the special joint City Council and Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of May 20th, 2024. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move to approve the minutes of May 20th.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. All right. Is there any discussion or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, would you please call the roll, Ms. Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tagg?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. New business non-action items. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. There are three plats that are minor plats. Because these are minor plats, they do not require action by the commission. They have been approved at staff level. Copy of these plats were included in your packets. I'm happy to present them to you if you'd like, but if not,
please.
So the first one we have is Old Wreath Office Business Park, or Old Wreath Office Minor Plat. Old Wreath Office is in the 300 block west side of Old Wreath Boulevard and is within the Old Town Mixed Use Zoning District. This plat creates one lot out of a total area of 1.6968 acres. Here's a depiction of the approved plat.
Okay.
Next we have Charlie's Business Park. Charlie's Business Park is in the 10,900 block north side of FM 2920. It is in the Tomball ETJ. The subdivision created one reserve at a total acreage or area of 11.9861 acres. completion of the approved plat. Last minor plat is TCG Capital 2. It's located in the 12,900 block north side of Tice Lane. It is in within the commercial zoning district. This subdivision created one lot out of total area of 5.9854 acres.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much. Okay, new business. Okay. In accordance with the Tomball Municipal Code, should the commission recommend denial of any zoning change requests, the commission shall provide reasons to the applicant for the denial if it's requested by the applicant. So moving on, F1. Consideration to approve the final plat of Woodleaf Reserve Section Number 3, a subdivision of 40.65 acres of land out of the Claude N. Pilote Survey, A632, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Woodleaf Reserve Section 3 final plat is located in within the plan development number 14 and is located in the 13,100 block north side of Old Reith Road. This subdivision creates 87 lots and 9 reserves at a total area of 40.6455 acres. Here's a depiction of the approved plat. Woodleaf Reserve Section 3 was found to be consistent with Chapter 40, Article 2 of the Code of Ordinances. The staff recommends approval with conditions, these being prior to the final approval and recording of this subdivision plat, engineer construction plans must be submitted to and approved by the City of Tomball, illustrating how all required public improvements associated with this development will be constructed, meaning all utilities and streets. And prior to the recording of this subdivision plat, all required public improvements associated with this development must be installed in accordance with these approved plans, and or suitable financial guarantee must be furnished to the city covering all costs of improvements as deemed acceptable by the city engineer. And this includes the school street connection to Tice Lane.
In accordance, under new business, with the Tomball Municipal Code, should the commission recommend denial of any zoning change requests, the commission shall provide reasons to the applicant for the denial, if requested by the applicant. F1. Consideration to approve final plat of Woodleaf Reserve, Section Number 3, a subdivision of
I move we approve the final plat for Woodleaf Reserve Section 3.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there any discussion or questions, staff? Would you please call the roll, Ms. Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tagg?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. F2. Conduct a public hearing in consideration to approve zoning case Z24-08, a request by CHTA Development, Inc. to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances as amended by amending the Plan Development District 15, which governs 33.386 acres of land legally described as being wind-free estates, to reduce the required building setback in the rear yard from 14 feet to 9 feet. The property is generally located on the west side of 2978 at Winfrey Lane within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, this is a request by CHTA Development, Inc. to amend Plan Development District 15 to reduce the minimum rear yard setback from 14 feet to 9 feet. Property is located along Winfrey Lane, highlighted in yellow, just to the west of 2978. The existing PD 15 district was created in 2021. It is an age-restricted single-family community of approximately 33.4 acres with a maximum of 130 lots at build-out. The request again is to reduce the minimum rear yard setbacks from 14 feet to 9 feet to accommodate a desired floor plan where outdoor living utilizes the side yards and then the homes sit further back on the lot. The subject property is on the left side of the screen. Neighboring properties are mostly undeveloped land to the north, south, and east. And off to the west, there's commercial businesses as well as the CenterPoint Energy Highline. Again, the property is currently zoned Plan Development 15. Surrounding property is zoned commercial and single family 9. The future land use is corridor commercial with neighborhood residential just to the north. The revised minimum rear setbacks request has no significant impact to the nature of the development, and there will be no permitted building encroachments into any easements. We did send out a notification within 300 feet and did receive two comment forms in response in opposition of the request. And once again, we recommend approval for this case. Thank you.
Okay. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case, state your name and address for the board, please, and for the record.
Commissioner, staff, thank you for having me. My name is Roland Ramirez, CHTA Development, 1169 Brickmore Road, Houston, Texas. As you all know, this is a 55-plus communities. As you can see on the aerial that is in front of you, there are a total of 113 lots. We've built about 16 of those lots. We have four lots, one closing, three under contract, and another three to four getting ready to finalize contract. This is a 55-plus community, and we are basically trying to make sure that the outdoor living space, both for our side yard and our backyard, is sufficient for them to put a patio over the outdoor living area. And where we're running into the problem is that some of these lots, being 110, 112, and 120, the front building line is 20 feet, and the largest home size that we have is 87 feet. Excuse me. And so what we're trying to do here is, for instance, on this cul-de-sac that you see here, if we put the model home, which is the one on the left there, on that cul-de-sac, we encroach on that 14-foot rear building line by about a foot. And it doesn't impact anything having to do with the enjoyment of that rear yard, because as you see on the next photo, we have side courtyards, and those side courtyards basically go from the existing house all the way to the wall of the adjoining house, and so they enjoy that side courtyard. In addition to that, next slide, the rear courtyard is where the real issue is. When we say rear, it's really rear to side. You can see the house comes out, and this is a plan that we have a problem with right now. It comes out with to about 77 feet. If we put a 10-foot canopy over that or a patio, We're at about 87 on some of these. And so we're asking that you reduce the 14-foot yard setback to 9 feet to accommodate these homes that will have the side yard as well as the rear courtyard. Furthermore, given the nature of our clientele, average age, by the way, is around 70, they want the minimum amount of yard in the back. As it is now, the HOA takes care of their front yards. It's included in the HOA fees, so they don't even have to do that. So we're trying to minimize the amount of yard that they have in the back anyway. And as you can see on the side yard of the photo that we showed earlier, that photo there, there's a minimum amount of grass that goes all the way out to the back fence line. That they have the option in that case to be able to hire the same company that we use as an HOA to mow their backyards as an option. So we respectfully request that you allow us to have our build line, which would affect about 15 to 18 lots out of the 113, all the way from 14 reduced down to 9 feet. And we, and that'll allow us to be able to bring that rear courtyard building all the way past into the 14-foot build line, but stay within 9 feet from the fence. They, however, will still be enjoying the side courtyards, as I've shown you in these pictures. Be glad to take any questions.
Do you have anything else you'd like to tell us about it?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. We'll call you back up if we have questions.
All right.
Okay. The public hearing on zoning case Z24-08 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:20 p.m. Okay. There's anybody who would like to speak regarding this request? You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. You don't have anyone? Okay, would you please read this one into the records?
There was a notification that was emailed to Benjamin Lashley regarding this case in opposition. And it states, if Tomball changes the 14-foot rule for this developer, how will it be explained to the next developer that wants it changed? Rules are rules, they should be followed, unless Tomball wants to send out the message by the land and Tomball will not enforce the 14-foot rule. If this rule is changed, what other rules will they not enforce? 9 feet is entirely too close to adjacent property. I am against not enforcing the current rule. This was written by Barbara Hayden Sieber, and she is at 23923 Huff Smith Corville Road.
Thank you. Is there anybody here who would like to speak? All right. Seeing none. The public hearing is now closed and the time is 6:21 p.m. Okay. May I have a motion to approve zoning case Z24-08?
I make a motion to approve zoning case Z24-08.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion of staff or questions of the applicant?
I have some questions.
Pardon me?
I have some questions.
Yes, ma'am.
May I ask the builder?
Yes, well, Mr. Garcia, please.
Yes, ma'am. Come up.
Hi there.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering that, so the homes you've built already, you stayed with the 14 feet?
Yes, ma'am.
In the back. And you see that that's a problem. It looks like most of your homes have the side yard is the main area for entertainment or being outside. There's nothing, you don't have a door going to the back, from the back of the house, is that correct?
That is correct, yes ma'am.
So would this be for just in that circle?
No.
Or is it going to be for every home?
Yeah, a couple of things I didn't clarify. The perimeter lots have a 14-foot center point utility easement. Mm-hmm. We can't encroach on any of that. So the 14-foot stays in play on those perimeter lots. So that's something that, you know, you should take some comfort in, is that we can't change that. Mm-mm. So 14-foot on all the perimeter lots, protecting all of their surrounding property, is in fact has to be obeyed regardless of whether you allow us to do 9 feet or not. The R series, which is our rear courtyard, are the ones in questions. And as you can see on the 110, we just can't fit them. On the 112 and 120 foot length lots, we can, but they start encroaching in that building line anywhere from about 3 feet all the way up to 5 feet, and that's why we're asking for the 9 feet.
So it just depends on what house is being built.
Yes, right? Ma'am. And it would affect, we couldn't probably build about 4 of our 8 plans.
So the perimeter, the outside, if we're looking at this, the outside streets, those have to be 14, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So it's going to be involving only the ones that are inside the subdivision?
Yes, ma'am.
So it won't affect people that live outside of the subdivision?
That is correct, yes, ma'am. I failed to clarify that earlier.
Okay. So you have some plans that will fit in your current guidelines and some that won't, is that what I understood?
That is correct, yes, sir.
So you're if you don't get the move, the setback, you lose how many plans?
About 4.
And you get how many plans will still fit?
About 4. We have a total of about 8 plans.
Okay.
Can you point to the lots that you're talking about that would encroach on the 14 feet?
Everything on the cul-de-sacs and the knuckles. I don't have a pointer, so.
There's like 4. I'm looking at 2 cul-de-sacs, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
2 cul-de-sacs and then the knuckle on the inside over here on the lower, on the south side. Those lots there. And then some of the lots on the north side of Winfrey Lane, some of the lots on the, what do you call it, all along the cul-de-sac, those are impacted. We can't do rears on rear.
How many lots in total do you have that would be impacted on this?
Anywhere from 15 and 18.
Okay.
How many lots total do you have on this?
113.
And currently you have no homes under construction or finished construction that violate the 14-foot.
That is correct.
And the center point easement is going to be included in the 14-foot?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So in essence, the 9-foot wouldn't serve us on the perimeter lots anywhere because we have to obey the 14-foot utility easement.
That's 14 feet from the back of the house to the fence line?
Yes, sir.
And then whatever easement is behind that?
That is correct. The reason we can do it where lots back up is that 14-foot utility easement by CenterPoint is shared 7 and 7. So we wouldn't be in violation of that easement. And we're asking for 9 feet from that fence line. The CenterPoint easement comes out 7. We're asking for 9 feet to be the building line.
So along the easement, you have 7 feet from the back of the house to the fence line. And then, is that correct?
For center point.
For center point. So you have a 7-foot setback from your fence from the back of the house.
Yes, sir.
And then you include the 7-foot joint easement that you have with center point.
No. The 7-foot is the center point easement. Mm-hmm. And then we're asking from that fence line 9 feet out, 2 more feet would be the 9-foot easement that we're asking for.
But that's not on the perimeter then.
No, that's only on the internal lots. That's what you were asking, correct?
I'm just trying to figure out how you're calculating a 14-foot easement with center point.
On all perimeter lots, center point requires the 14-foot easement, and it's already in place. The documents are there, and we can't do anything about that. On lots that back up to each other, that 14-foot is split from the fence line, 7 this way for this homeowner, and 7 this way for the other homeowner. That's how they do it. And we're asking for a blanket easement of all of these lots of 9 foot, even though we can't use it on the perimeter lots.
If this somehow does not get approved, do you have a backup plan for this?
It would cause us to not be able to do any rear courtyards. 8-4 of our plans.
Do you have rear courtyards or mostly on the side?
Right now they're all side courtyards, but that's just the first group of homes that we built, the first 16. We, for instance, on the cul-de-sac lot, we can't even do a side courtyard on that cul-de-sac to the north. And the reason is it encroaches about 6 inches to a foot into mm-hmm. the building line.
Could you repeat that?
Ma'am?
I didn't catch the last word you said. Could you repeat that?
On lot number, if you could come up on that plat. I mean down, I'm sorry. On lot number 14, up right there, right on that cul-de-sac.
That one
right there, lot 13.
Okay. Yeah.
We sent in a plan to the staff and basically said, hey, we want to put the same side courtyard plan, which is the model, right there, because somebody wanted it. But the problem is, because it's a cul-de-sac, mm-hmm. it eats into the depth of the lot, mm-hmm. and none of those side courtyards will fit around there, mm-hmm. because you have 20-foot setback, front building line setback, and then you've got the actual slab of the house. And we encroach on 15, on 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, we encroach anywhere from 6 inches all the way up to 3 feet for even the side courtyards, because of the depth of the lot.
That's unfortunate. I mean, that's what how a cul-de-sac is laid out. I've got more side yard than I have my backyard, but that's just, I mean, you have to pick a house accordingly that's going to fit those lots.
Correct.
You know, you can't hope for a big side yard on one that's going to be a narrow side yard. You can't put a big courtyard back there. That doesn't make sense. So you'd have to have a bigger backyard. So how many lots would this affect? It depends on the house. So say if somebody wanted 1-4 house that fits on any lot, you wouldn't have to worry about.
That is correct. Side courtyard. Except 1-4 includes the house I'm talking about on the cul-de-sac, mm-hmm. where we encroach about 6 inches to a foot for that side yard that you saw in the graphic.
Yeah, see, that wouldn't make sense on that kind of property. On a cul-de-sac, you have a big side courtyard. It would have to be in the backyard.
So are you asking for relief on just the 18 lots that you have here or the whole neighborhood?
I'm asking, it was suggested that we do just go ahead, rather than do a single request lot by lot where we need to a variance to encroach into the building line on the rear, that we just go ahead and do a blanket. It doesn't affect any of the perimeter lots or any of the adjoining property owners because of the 14-foot UE by center point. So it would stay the 14-foot building line. And so it's just all the internal lots.
How many lots is that?
Oh.
I don't care. Go ahead and guesstimate.
Probably, I would say half, so maybe 50. Now, maybe less than that, I would think. Maybe 30. Because you can see the perimeter along the retention pond and all the way around. You can see there's quite a few lots. And all of those, regardless of what you do with on amending the zoning, we still have to stay within the 14 foot because we can't go in to that center point easement.
Right.
So the 9 foot would only affect the internal lots.
I understand it's self-resolving, as you say, on the perimeter lots because
right.
of center point.
Right.
I know I would feel more comfortable if we amended a motion to exclude those perimeter mm-hmm. lots. And as far as what product you put on each lot, let the market decide yeah. what you put there. It's not our business. And to me, then you could have the 9 foot on the interior lots
And if you put a product there that needs, as you say, the side and the rear, well, that's to be decided by buyers. But I would feel more comfortable excluding the perimeter lots.
And we would be fine with that. We would be fine with that because we can't do anything anywhere because of the 14-foot utility easement for center point.
But how do you justify this on the next development that comes through?
Right.
That wants to do the same thing but doesn't have a utility easement, so we're just going to do the whole thing and the 14-foot shouldn't apply to us at all. Literally it doesn't apply to him at all.
I think this is a planned development, as I understand it.
That's correct.
So the planned development, the lot sizes, the lots as we're seeing them right now, that was something I was going to clarify. As I understand it, this plat has fulfilled the planned development agreement.
Yes.
As far as the size of the lots.
Correct.
Okay. So then we're just looking at, Commissioner Anderson, as you said, how would we justify them? They came in and said, again, I think in cases of developers, you and the market and what changes, when was the plan development approved?
2021.
Oh, not that long ago then. No, but, you know, we all know housing has changed. Markets change. Again, I'm just saying, let the people decide, you know, let it be purely the market driven how it comes out. But you still have a point to your question. How do we explain, as they said in this petition,
people.
To the next one?
And the next people. And the next.
Right.
I understand that he has a problem with four of his plans. Mm-hmm. And it's some of his lots, if they decide to put that particular house on that lot.
Right. And I'm saying the solution to that is let the buyer decide it. Let the market decide it.
The solution to keeping the 14-foot setback would be that these lots are only available if we build these four
plans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Specifically. So.
Or this could have been adjusted for the amount of homes so that he could do and stay within the 14-foot setback.
If I could jump in, I think you guys understand this. This is, to maybe explain it a little bit differently, they're imposing this all on themselves. So by this 9-foot rear easement or rear setback, it's gonna be backed up to another house of the same development, which could have another 9. Roland had indicated, you know, the perimeter is going to be governed or trumped, if you will. Probably chose a better word than that, but because of the center point easement, that's going to govern what that setback is. But keep in mind that this is a community where if you have a lot where a very shallow backyard, it's just backing up to another buyer of someone that wants to be in a neighborhood like this with a very small backyard with a dense community that he's proposing. So I like to say it's a self-inflicted setback on his own property that is only going to affect people that buy there and not anybody else. It shouldn't have any impact on anybody else, or wouldn't have any impact on anybody else.
I understand, and thank you for the explanation. That makes more sense than me trying to work my way through this myself. But again, how do we tell the next developer, like the lady said in the email, how do we explain to the next, okay, you said you would do this. This is what we decided on. This is what we voted on. Now we're going to change this.
I'm assuming that this, I shouldn't assume, but this lady looked like from the map, she's lives on the perimeter, her residence.
She does. She's on the north end.
Yes. I'm guessing she's looking at it from her affecting her, herself, her property, as opposed to whether it happens in the middle of all this.
Mm-hmm. You probably could speculate that, yes.
So I think the explanation can be, you know, okay, everything's great, except we're going to not approve that for the, even though it's a built-in center point thing, the perimeter lots are excluded from relief.
My thought was, what if center point changes in the future? That was my thought. So then we do go ahead and layer on there another protection from the city.
Are these buried utilities?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All underground utilities, so it won't change.
So your fence encapsulates that?
Yes, sir.
I would feel comfortable if we just had him identify the lots that he needs to build in, and we just exempt those lots from the 14-foot, and then he has to stay within the 14-foot with the rest of them.
I agree.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Suppose this is granted. What happens if CenterPoint decides that, no, that is not something they want? Will they let you reduce those setbacks, you know, their area? So what you're doing is you don't want to impact or go to them and ask them, say, hey, folks, we really have a problem here. City of Tomball said no. So is there something that we can work out? And you said all their easements are underground?
That is correct. Well, our utilities are underground. And I will tell you, I've been doing this for almost 30 years, subdivisions all over the greater Houston area, all center point, and it's been 14-foot, and they don't change for over 30 years. And I don't see them changing whatsoever.
I'm not saying
And the reason is, part of the reason is, the way they look at it is that they need that 7 feet, if the lots are together, they need that 7 feet to get their backhoes in and all of their equipment in to dig up a line that's bad. They want the 14 feet because they don't know what's going to happen to the adjoining property owner and what they're going to do. So they require us to give them 14 feet on all the perimeter lots. If we were backing up to another subdivision, we would have 7 on the perimeter, but we don't because we're the first ones out there.
And your subdivision, does it back up to that shopping center that's below you? I think it's below y'all or to the west of y'all?
No, there's a gap in there
as
well.
Is there a gap? Okay, I couldn't remember if there was a gap there or not. Okay. When y'all designed this, did you not consider that you might have an issue?
Yes, of course we did. Our land planner basically took our largest plan at the time, which was 85 feet, and placed them on all the lots, and they all fit. Problem was market changes, and there was demand for the rear yard, rear outdoor living, and that's why we had to introduce these other 4 lots. The market just changed. And the key is, this 55-plus community does not want big backyard. That's why we have to do the front yard maintenance for them, because quite frankly, most of them want backyard maintenance because they don't want to, it's lock and leave. They don't want to deal with that.
I got a question about 55 plus communities. How do you control that 2 decades down the line?
Well, the HOA is in place in perpetuity unless the homeowners the developer maintains control of the HOA until, I believe, 80% of the homes are sold. And then we start introducing a homeowner one at a time until we get to 100%, and then it's controlled by the homeowners. So the homeowners will control what they want to do going forward.
Legal question.
This is ask not our attorney.
This is not a rezoning case. This is not a rezoning case, correct? It's a zoning case, but it's not a rezoning.
I would say it's a rezoning because you're amending a PD, a plan development 15.
Because we're amending the PD.
Right.
That's my non-legal answer.
Okay.
How does that work?
That's right.
Coming from a lawyer.
Our attorney says that is correct.
Does this case have the possibility of going to BOA?
The way this could have gone to BOA is if every individual lot, and however many there are, 15, 20, whatever was decided, it would be an individual case. So you'd have to go case by case,
the
every single
are,
one.
Yep. The ones
and then ask
be,
for relief from the rear setback.
Okay.
At the risk of violating.
Thank you.
The quiet part out loud. I don't know that you could really make a true hardship case for a variance just based on the lot size.
Right.
Practically speaking, the way to address the issue would be through amending the PDD.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my concern.
Yes, ma'am.
So what caused your situation to develop, essentially, is like you said, is market-driven because people wanted bigger backyards. Okay. And y'all's yards currently are focused side yards.
Yes, and now we're getting the request for houses that basically have a courtyard on the back side of that. And in order to do that, you know, if you think about it, you've got the house slab plus the patio, and that's where it starts encroaching.
So you couldn't move your houses forward?
No, because we have a 20-foot City of Tomball building line.
Okay, all right.
That's why it's difficult. So we have a 20-foot building line in the front and a 14 in the back. And we had to keep the lots small because these are lock and leave folks. They don't want big yards. They want them as small as possible because they don't want to have to deal with mowing and all of that stuff.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions or thoughts?
I'm opposed to just a blanket approval everything. I'm okay with identifying the lots that need it specifically.
And then when they're not even guaranteed that that house might need it, you might not put the biggest house there, or somebody that wants the biggest backyard, they might like the cul-de-sac but the side yard.
Well, so. But what I also would like you all to understand is that once you start, if we can go to the photo where it has the side yards, yes, once you start a row, in order to keep the side yards so that this homeowner, his yard goes all the way to the building line, you've got to keep that same side yard. You can't mix backyard and side yards because you lose all of this. You lose the area between the homes. So all of the houses on the graphic, aerial, if I can, all of these houses are all side yard houses because we have to do that in order to maintain the side yard to where it backs up from the patio to the adjoining house. And so we would have to do the same thing on rear yard. We'd have to keep all the rear yards all together, all down the street, in order to maintain that rear yard.
Could you explain that side yard again? House?
Yes.
To the next neighbor next door?
So,
limits where I see that. Build.
Yeah, so in our HOA documents, we basically, this is not zero lot line, just let me clarify that. We basically said that the homeowner on the right has the quiet enjoyment of everything up to the wall of the next door neighbor's house. They don't own that 5 foot where that trellis is, like this owner does not own the other 5 foot on this. You know, there's a 10-foot easement per City of Tomball. You have to have 5 and 5.
Right.
Okay, so we got 10 foot right there. And
okay.
See what we did? In order for them to enjoy that side yard and give them a little bit more depth so they could do stuff like this, we presented that all for all of the homeowners.
So my question is, what happens if something changes
if you want to put a fence
and the utility line has to be brought in there?
We have that 10-foot easement.
And what if they wanted more?
They'd have to go to each homeowner and get it.
Okay.
Because under the plat and under the rules of Tomball's side yard setbacks, we followed that.
So how many lots total did you say this is going to impact?
I don't know exactly, and the reason I don't know exactly is because, like I told you, all of these are side courtyard because they have to be all the same.
Right, I got that.
So we're going to have a whole row of rear courtyard lots that could be anywhere 15 to 20, maybe 25, depending on the street that we choose to start that rear courtyard, which is prompted by market demand. If the market demand says we only need, you know, 10 of those, then we find a street where we can put 10, then transition to the other side courtyard.
So
So market-driven could actually help you control the issue?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or any thoughts?
Well, from what you're saying, it sounds like they're going to build the houses mm-hmm. in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really like we don't come in and I want this lot and I want you to build this house on this
right.
lot.
That is correct.
Okay, so we're not talking about you choosing several houses in that row of the 15 to 18 lots that will fit that.
That is correct.
So it's
yeah, that's
really,
why it makes
it's really
it
not a customer choice, it's a you choice.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's set up is that, for instance, you could not put a back on this row here. You couldn't do a side courtyard and then a back courtyard.
What row?
This row of homes that you're seeing up here that are already constructed out there.
Okay.
You can't mix them. They have to be all rear courtyard, or they have to, and I'm sorry, I don't have a graphic showing you that,
mm-hmm.
or all side courtyard along the street. So all of these here that you see are all side courtyard. Coming up this way, we could put rear courtyard starting down the street.
You could find a plan to work in this cul-de-sac here. You could find a plan to work where something would work, one of your four plans in the five or six lots.
On the cul-de-sac, we tried placing our model home and it won't fit. We encroach 1 foot into
you have,
the...
You have seven other models.
But you could adopt your lot size.
The problem is the depth of the slab is pretty much the same on all of our side courtyards. They're about the same. Keep in mind, our square footage runs from 1,700 to 2,500 square feet. And so they're all small houses. So the slab area is about the same on all of the houses. Except for the rear courtyard, they go longer on the back, and therein lies the problem.
So what changed? You plan this development, you drew out your lots, you got staff approval, and then something changed where we're not going to build the houses we were going to build in 3 years ago. Now we're going to build these houses.
What changed is the market basically said to us, people say, hey, do you have a house where instead of the side courtyard, you have a rear courtyard, and I showed you an example of that. And so the market said, hey, we want the rear courtyard. Well, if we did that, can you go to the graphic? The building comes out. That piece of the house, of the slab, that piece of the building is what is encroaching on that 14-foot building line in the back in order to get that rear courtyard in.
Are you talking about that cover thing next to your garage in that picture,
or are you
talking about
the right
just the back one?
I'm talking about that right.
The one
yeah.
on the right.
The one on the right.
I can tell you what's your point at.
Yeah.
It's the gray house.
It's the gray house.
But the back courtyard.
Okay. It's the back. That's the back courtyard.
That's the back courtyard.
Yes,
and that's
ma'am.
The issue.
So and that's the issue.
More popular than you anticipated.
Yes, sir. And when we started this project, we were just doing side courtyards, and then people said, "Well, don't you have a back courtyard?" And so we said, yeah, there is a model for back courtyard, but we're having issues with it fitting on many of the lots.
So Craig, if this was self-inflicted and he did the 14-foot setback, why are we here to adjust this? Because he said he was going to do a 14-foot, and now he's not going to do this is a planned development. Why are we adjusting this here?
What I meant by self-inflicted is it's only going to impact people that live there. So
okay.
So it's not going to impact anybody on the perimeter, which is where mm-hmm. others that probably may care about this. Obviously, the one to the north did. But when I say self-inflicted, I mean individuals that want the lock and leave, want to live in a community like this. I don't want to speak for them, they may not care what the rear setbacks are because
yeah.
they're living in a dense neighborhood, a lock and leave, a low maintenance neighborhood, and they're not going to buy. I personally don't believe they would buy in there knowing that, well, this house is really close to me behind me, and if they went in there and said, well, that's a close house, I believe they just wouldn't buy there. So I think it's just a product that the developer's proposing, and he's either going to find people that find it attractive and don't mind that level of density, or he's going to find someone that says, I need more space, I'm going to go live somewhere else. That's what I meant by that.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
So we're trying to accommodate anybody who comes in that wants a different type of yard.
Yeah, you either want it or you don't. That's my take.
But so then we get back to the same thing that I'm saying is you have a 14-foot between the end of your house and your fence, and now we're going to do away with that. And so we're just, anybody that comes in, this is what we're going to do.
And they'll know that.
Yeah.
We had two people, right, that were opposed.
Can you show that map again?
Yeah.
I got to switch presentation for that.
Okay.
Was there any commentary with the other?
Just the one that Kim read. The other one didn't have any commentary, I don't believe.
No, she just said they were against.
And I don't believe the other neighbor was adjacent either. I can control it from here, Ben. No, I'll try.
You got it.
Here you go.
Right.
Thank you.
I think, for me, they're concerned about, obviously, their perimeter, what's affecting them, not really inside the neighborhood. So if we can exclude the perimeter lots, to me, it hopefully would explain it to people. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like meeting in the middle.
Okay, so the people on the north side there, or top side of the graphic, are the Seabirds who have got, I think it's like a 100-acre dairy farm there. The ones on the right were the industrial company that just said they were against it.
On the west side?
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
But there's that gap in there, that's a center point easement, so I don't know the width of it, maybe 100 feet.
It's 100 feet.
Got it.
So there's a 100-foot buffer before you get to a lot.
Before they run into each other. Okay. Is there a buffer at the back of the Seabirds property?
Back of which property?
North.
No, there's not.
Okay, I didn't think so. All right, thank you. Okay, does anybody else have questions of the applicant before we do discussion? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chief Sikora is here from the fire department. Could we ask him a couple questions?
Sure.
Would you mind coming up front? I'd love to ask you a question. You should know better than show up behind me.
Yeah. Good, ma'am.
I have a question regarding, and I know this is just hypothetical, but what would happen? Say if we had a big storm come through, and the utilities, I believe he said, were underground there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What impact would that have on, y'all or something, if the fire started or something in that area? Because I still go back to the Tri-County fires when we had some issues like that.
With there not being a livable part of the structure right there, we're going to be more worried about barbecue pits than we are about electrical utility easements, those kinds of things. The way that it's set up, being interior only, it's not going to have the effect on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's only going to affect those inside lots. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing much of a safety concern.
Okay.
With the extension of they're looking at extending concrete slabs, mm-hmm. and there is going to be a part of the structure that's close that may be able to have some sort of extension back into the residence, but it's not going, I don't see it causing any kind of safety concern.
All right. Does anybody have a question? Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions? Staff, anything? Okay. So, we're done. Ms. Kim, would you call the roll?
Wait.
I'm sorry.
We need to finish. Whoever made the original motion needs to determine if I'll accept.
Okay, got it.
The amendment is a friendly amendment.
Got it.
I think the easiest way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you're right. I just skipped the whole thing. All right.
And I think the
motion was made by Commissioner Harris.
Right, and so I'd like to amend the motion to have it where it just includes the 9 feet, just include the inside not the perimeter. The perimeter stays at 14 feet. Can we put that in there as an amendment? And just affect the inside can be 9 feet? Isn't that what you...
Interior.
Yeah, the interior.
Okay, let's try to think how to word that so we can do that legally.
So where the amendment would only apply to lots...
That are on the interior.
That are unaffected by the center point 14-foot utility easement, something of that equivalent.
Or would it be easier to exclude perimeter lots?
Yeah,
exclude perimeter lots.
Would you please tell her how you think it should be worded then?
Would you please correct me?
I just want to make sure we do what we do.
Please jump in if I get this wrong.
No. I like the idea of...
The condition would be to exclude this setback reduction or on lots that are on the perimeter of the development.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Does that work?
That's what I would say.
As long as that perimeter stays the perimeter. Okay. So it would only apply to those houses on the outer perimeter.
That would stay at 14. Not the interior.
So, coming to the point.
Yeah.
For center point stays.
Mm-hmm. The perimeter is 14. Yeah.
Are we including...
Yeah, I just saw that.
There's a run of lots that kind of looks like they run in the middle. See that?
Yeah.
That, are we counting that as this is the perimeter? That's the way I understood it.
Maybe perimeter, the perimeter of the planned development boundary.
Okay, does it?
As opposed to... When you're, I can't see what you're pointing at. Are you pointing...
Okay. The center?
Sorry,
right here. Winfrey Lane? Is that what you're talking about?
Look down from where Winfrey Lane goes around. There's, it looks like it's maybe a carve-out for
well,
a shopping center or something.
There's no rear yards that back up to Winfrey Lane on this layout, so I don't think it would apply.
Sorry about the long rectangle.
That's they have 14s there on a utility. It backs up to a detention pond, and I consider that perimeter.
No, right. That's all I was wanting to clarify.
Okay.
Okay. Just make sure. So is that they built their own pond to put it in there?
Yes.
Okay. They just don't want to fill it up with dirt. Okay. Do you have a language you want us to use?
I think it's clear at this point.
Okay. Would you like to restate your motion so we have it proper?
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to approve zoning case Z24-08, but only for the interior properties. The exterior, the perimeter will stay at 14. And the interior can be at 9. It depends on, I mean, what if he has no houses that build that want the backyard? You know, it might be there he has one or two or whatever row, but it might not be the whole. The whole interior.
Can we do that with a pin?
But it would just be up to whoever buys the house.
And that's your question.
Yeah. I mean, if all the interior is at 9, then the option would be there for either or. But
yeah, they're not all going to be at 9. It depends on what house they build.
I mean that the option to build up and within the 6 foot difference that we're talking about, the 14 feet versus the 5 foot difference. But it would still apply.
Or should we just say on the cul-de-sacs?
I think the interior lots.
Okay, the interior.
The language they clip in that Craig said a second ago was, I think, the simplest.
Yes. So, is that in the interior? That work for you?
Or perimeter lots, is that what you said?
Yes, excluding perimeter lots.
Right, excluding all perimeter lots.
I think the spirit is there.
Pardon me?
I think the spirit of the thing is there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can you restate the motion with the correct language? She has to write it down, so.
Okay, so I want to amend the existing motion so that we'll include that the perimeter. Include the perimeter, now the perimeter lots will be at 14 feet, so we'll exclude that. The interior lots may or may not be 9 feet, 9 to 14 feet, depending on what house is being built.
That's not what.
Who's not?
Attorney said that don't work.
Well, no, I would just phrase it as a motion to approve F2. With the exclusion of the perimeter lots in the development. Basically, essentially just treated as approving, excluding the
perimeter lots.
The perimeter lots.
So I'll say it again. I amend this motion to exclude the perimeter lots.
That's right, because she had a motion to approve, so now she's amending her motion.
Okay. Do you see who gets the second? Commissioner Anderson, do you accept the amendment? Okay, motion is amended with the amendment being accepted by Commissioner Anderson and changed by Commissioner Harris. Is there any other discussion or anything? Seeing none. Ms. Kim, would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tagg.
Nay.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Nay.
Motion carries 3 votes aye, 2 votes nay.
F3. Conduct a public hearing in consideration to approve zoning case Z24-09, a request by Tomball Hospital Authority, DBA Tomball Regional Health Foundation, to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 5.552 acres of land legally described as tracts 12B and 12C of the William Hurd Survey. Abstract 378 from agricultural to the general retail districts, and the property is generally located within the 1300 block on the north side of Medical Complex Drive within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we please have your presentation?
Yes, this is a request by Tomball Hospital Authority, DBA, Tomball Regional Health Foundation, to rezone approximately 5.5 acres from agricultural to general retail. The property is located along Medical Complex Drive just to the west of School Street. The applicant has indicated their desire to construct a 9,400 square foot building to serve as the new headquarters for the Tomball Regional Health Foundation. The development is also planned to have walking paths, fitness stations, a sensory garden, and a pavilion. The property is located, or the image of the property is shown on the far left. It is undeveloped. Properties to the east and south are also undeveloped. To the north is the HCA hospital parking lot and a center point highline easement, and neighboring properties to the west are medical offices. Again, the property is zoned agricultural. Surrounding properties are zoned agricultural, general retail to the north and to the west. Office to the south, and then to the southeast is commercial, zoned commercial. The future land use designation is medical district, as is all surrounding properties. The medical district designation is intended for healthcare and supporting uses. Uses should consist of clinics, hospitals, offices, lodging, long-term care, retail, and restaurants, anything supporting a medical district type of area. Also, the comprehensive plan does identify compatible zoning districts of general retail, which is what's being requested, office, and mixed use. This is a notification area of 300 feet. We did receive one comment form in favor of this rezoning request. City staff does recommend approval. The request to general retail is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and the proposed use builds upon the comprehensive plan's goal of expanding upon the medical district in Tomball. Thank you.
Thank you. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case, state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Jeffrey Klein. I live at 13310 Timberwild Court, Tomball, Texas. I serve as the CEO of the Tomball Regional Health Foundation. It's our desire to increase the park type setting in the medical complex so that we would build a 9,400 square foot building. We will surround it with a wooded park-like setting, with a pond, with walking trails, with a sensory garden, fitness stations. We want to enhance the medical area so that those who live and work in and around the medical area have a quiet and contemplative area to go and visit. Our offices will then be used for the Tomball Regional Health Foundation to serve the 13 zip codes that we currently serve. We put about $3.5 million into a nonprofit healthcare and related issues in this area. We will be adding, as part of our office complex, we will be having a learning center so that we can bring in organizations that are nonprofit medical organizations and bring those organizations together to better serve the community. So we feel like this is a good fit with its location next to the hospital and the other associated medical complex drive businesses. And that is all.
All right. Thank you. We'll call you back. The public hearing on zoning case Z24-09 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 7:10 p.m. Is there anybody who would like to speak regarding this request? You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for our records. Do we have anybody?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right, seeing as no one wishes to speak, the public hearing is now closed and the time is now 7:10 p.m. So it's time to start. All right, may I have a motion to approve zoning case Z24-09?
I move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. All right, is there any discussion or questions of the applicant?
I got one question.
Okay.
Mr. Can you elaborate on Sensory Park?
What's that?
Tell me about Sensory Park.
All right.
As part of our effort to reach out to those in need, we have a number of organizations that we support and that we've become aware of that have special needs students. So a sensory park would just be part of the park-like setting that we would have there would be geared towards special needs children. We're not looking to put in swing sets. We're not looking to put in traditional play structures. We're looking for fitness structures and then those that say an autistic child or a Down syndrome child, if they go to a traditional park, sometimes it can be overwhelming. So we want to have a quiet space that would be less overwhelming to them. We'd also have picnic tables and benches so that people can just get away from the medical complex if they need to. Of course, it's open to the whole community, but especially to our healthcare workers or those who maybe have a patient in the hospital need a quiet space to go. Does that answer your question?
Yep, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Yes. Not for him.
Sit down. Thank you, Mr. Klein.
Craig, why general retail? Didn't we just go through this with the church and the care center? All Tice and Cherry? Not Tice and Cherry.
South Cherry.
South Cherry.
Medical Complex.
Medical Complex.
About the school.
The school.
Oh, I was not here for that case, but...
And it's something that Tana usually says, wouldn't this be more office instead of general retail?
Because general retail couldn't...
Yeah, it's well, our recommendation is based on the fact it does conform with the comprehensive plan and also is compatible with the districts just to the north. And to the west.
We do general retail, and this falls through. Is a McDonald's going to pop up there?
Mm-hmm. It could.
Yeah. Well, so wouldn't his request benefit him and the medical district more to be office?
Mm-hmm. Office is an appropriate district designation for this. Yeah, you could make that recommendation. And since I want to speak for you, Tommy, but I believe since that's a less intense district, mm-hmm. that could be approved tonight. Is that correct if you wanted to make that motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to make that correct?
I'll just want to go with exactly what he said so we don't have to spend it here all night.
I don't know what to say.
I would like to amend the motion, mm-hmm. to recommend office instead of general retail.
Mm-hmm. Can he amend the motion?
Because
he did not make the motion.
No.
Yeah.
You could.
I would like to amend the motion.
If you get your permission.
I guess my question on it, when I saw the presentation, there was some retail components in the plan, right? Mm-hmm. No?
Mm-mm. I think there was office more.
Okay.
Mr. Klein, would you please come up?
No, the reason we selected general retail was upon advice of the city. There will be no retail component there. So my question really would be back to the city. You're aware of our project. We've had pre-meetings. By changing this to office, would that in any way impact what we have planned?
I don't believe so, because my understanding is you're going to be office there. You will,
yes,
have some events there as well.
Correct.
I would need to double check, but I do not believe that would have any impact, because that would be an ancillary use, having,
yes,
events.
Yes, no, there's not going to be
not very often.
This gift shop.
It's primarily an office.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's office and meeting space.
Yeah.
And then the park, I don't know how that would fall. I'm sure it's not retail.
No, that's
not general retail.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So you're going to put a coffee shop in?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was my first thought, because I've had...
No.
Or a gift shop.
No.
Or a gift shop or anything like that.
No.
So that's all I was looking at. Thinking about, does that,
and that's not in your plans to do any,
no,
sort of coffee, yeah, sales or a little,
no, free,
little barista
office
in there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
An
office would probably
but
be
better. But this zoning means they could never do that unless they change the,
no,
zone.
I will say that if there is a small little barista in there that charges probably $10 for a cup of coffee, you know, and say 50 square feet, 100 square feet, that to me is an ancillary use. It's not, you're going to an office that has a little coffee shop,
like
kind of like a church has,
right,
a little coffee,
yeah,
shop,
right,
or some of them do. I would look at it that way,
not
that
a Starbucks.
It wouldn't,
exactly,
limit that.
Yeah.
The primary use is office related activities.
You're not putting up a sign and bringing in,
correct,
a Starbucks franchise.
Correct.
Correct. It's just another benefit.
I'm not saying that you're going to do that,
right,
but that's how I would look at that.
So. Right. And certainly within office space, you often see a very small area like that, although that's not our intention.
That's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So like a vending machine.
I mean, I think office, mm-hmm, is better.
It's not.
Put,
yeah,
the person there.
Exactly.
No. I don't think there's any opposition for us to go from general retail to office. It doesn't sound like there's any impact to what our plan is.
To your plan, I don't believe so.
And I mean, the way we look at this plan is when we build it, that's going to be there for 50 plus years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It'll serve your interest.
Yep. Any other?
All right. So.
Okay, so I would like to amend my approval, or my my motion to approve on zoning case Z24-09 to approve with the understanding that we're switching from general retail to office.
Can I second that?
Accept that change? That we didn't you just say that he needed to say that we recommend they consider the change?
Or that we change it?
Okay.
We're approving.
He wants to change the original motion.
General retail office.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To recommend they consider, you know, switching to general retail.
Right. To office.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that proper?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, do we need to second that again? I seconded the first motion, but I didn't know if we needed to second it again.
Well, do you accept the change of the motion?
I do.
Who made the original motion? That was Scott. And Scott said, okay. He's making change so that works. Okay. All right. And you made the second, so you accept it. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right, anything else? Any other questions? Okay. Would you please call the roll, Ms. Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tay.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. F4. Consideration to approve ordinance amendment 0AM24-01, a request by the City of Tomball to amend Chapter 50, Article 3, District Regulations by adding Section 50-70.1, Single Family Residential District, SF7.5 Zoning Classification, and subsequent district standards modifying Section 50-82, Use Regulations Charts modifying Section 50-112, Off-Street Parking and Loading Requirements, adding parking regulations within the Single Family Residential 7.5 District. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, this ordinance amendment amends Chapter 50 zoning by adding the single family 7.5 district along with its development standards and off-street parking requirements. The purpose of this text amendment is because we have identified there's a large density gap between single family 6 and single family 9 zoning districts. The single family 7.5 district does create a middle ground density of single family districts. There's been a lot of requests recently by applicants and city council where proposed single family lots, and they're proposing greater than 6,000 square feet but less than 9,000 square feet. And what's happened with a lot of these requests is there's been concerns that 6,000 is too small, 9,000 is too big for a lot of the applicants. So I'm proposing a middle ground district of 7.5 because a lot of what we've seen that have evolved into plan developments have been developers that wanted to put in 7,500 square foot lots or 8,000 square foot lots. So this zoning district that we're proposing would essentially accommodate those requests. The 7.5 SF7.5 area regulations, they would have a minimum lot area of 7,500 square feet, hence the 7.5, a minimum lot width of 60 feet, a minimum lot depth of 100 feet. I'm proposing a front setback of 20 feet with side setbacks of 5 and a rear setback of 15. Those will vary if they're corner lots or along an arterial street. The maximum lot coverage is 45%, and the minimum floor area for any home would be 1,000 square feet. The maximum height would be 2 stories or 35 feet. One-story accessory buildings are acceptable as well. Just like every other single-family district, 2 off-street parking spaces per dwelling unit would be required. And the use charts that are located in the parking lot in your packet, I should say, would generally match the single family 6 and single family 9 districts in those charts. With that, we recommend approval.
Okay. The public hearing on zoning case 0AM24-01 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 7:22 p.m. Is there anybody here who would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and your address for the record. Do you have anybody?
I do not.
Anybody present?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Since we have no one who would like to speak, zoning public hearing is now closed and the time is now 7:23 p.m. Can I have a motion to approve zoning case OAM24-01?
Move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Okay, is there any discussion or questions?
You said you had quite a few requests. You just parked, you know, how many were there?
Over the many years, Copper Cove is a good example. They have larger lots than SF6, and I believe they did a plan development. Yelpon Trails is another example of where we did a plan development to because there were concerns with 6,000 square foot lots, but they couldn't make the 9,000 square foot lots. So once again, this middle ground district would accommodate those, and we would have less planned developments because in all actuality, they're not really too much of a planned development because there's a couple of amenities at these communities, but they're generally like any other subdivision. So this would make things more standard and address some of council's concerns that I've heard that 6,000 square foot lots, and I think we heard that a couple months ago with the rezoning case that we had out off Tomball Cemetery with Beezer Homes, there was concern, I remember, with this board that they were proposing 6,000 and they were proposing or SF6, but a lot of the lots that they described were 7,000-8,000 square feet. This would address those concerns that those lots wouldn't be that small.
So the Copper Cove and Yopon, they were in this middle zone, but so how did they pull that off?
Through a plan development where they specified their own district and created their minimum lot size of, I don't recall the area, but it was definitely more than SF6 because that's how it was able to get through the process of approval.
Does anybody else have any questions or discussion? I do. What areas are these questions coming from? You know, are they talking about, you know, from the smaller, you know, that you feel we need a 7.5?
I'm not sure exactly where these areas would be. Probably where neighborhood residential would be on our future land use plan, you would see these zoning districts pop up. But once again, I think this addresses concerns that this board or council may have of, because if someone was proposing today, I want to put in 8,000 square foot lots or 7,500 square foot lots. The only zoning district they can request, other than a plan development, would be single family 6.
Right.
But if they had this option, they would lock themselves into a minimum of 7,500 square feet. So, a lot of what I've seen over the years is that seems to be our sweet spot for a lot of our new residential areas, 9,000 being too large for what this market can reasonably handle, but the 7,000 to 8,000 square feet is what we've seen, and this, once again, I think would address it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My concern is, to be frank, I live in Old Town Tomball, and I am real concerned about what's being built on the lots around us that are smaller, some are bigger, and we're losing the essence that was made Tomball what it is today, and I'm very concerned about that. I've had a lot of people ask me about that, and so what are your feedback are you getting from City Council regarding this?
Some recent feedback that I received is, where are we at on this? That's why we're bringing it forward. It's something we talked about internally as staff many, many years ago, because there is quite a big gap between 6,000 and 9,000. And once I heard those recent discussion of where are we at on this, I decided to bring it forward as an option. And I don't think this causes any harm. I think it's just another option for applicants to choose and for your board and council to decide upon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Ford, would you like to make a comment?
If you'd like me to.
I would, to be honest. I really would like to know what you think.
Well, I think, and in regard to your comment about Old Town, really this is not about Old Town. This is about developments that come in, and frankly, somebody coming in and asking for a 6,000 square foot lot today to council, mm-hmm. I think they would have a tough road to hoe to do that. It's been generally thought that 6,000 is pretty small and it creates a lot of congestion, and so this slightly larger district has been talked about for several years, and wishes and desires, I think, finally have bubbled up to the point where, you know, we're putting this forward. So I applaud the planning department putting this out there. I think it'll help and give us a little more
flexibility
for people to ask, because they, like Craig said, they don't want 9,000, but they certainly aren't going to get 6,000 approved, probably, so 75 sure. is probably a good middle ground.
Oh, I think it's you're right, the flexibility is there, and we do need it. While we're doing all that, I know one concern that I've had that I'd like to address it with council at your convenience is, when we did the future land use map, we had a lot of areas that we made light industrial, and all within that range of uses that has actually never gone in that direction. And maybe at some point we need to sit down and just address the whole thing.
Well, I think
this
group is,
this will help.
Is looking at that. I think there have been a lot of thought and effort to go into that.
Takes a lot of work.
Get it and spoken with Craig about it, and I think a lot of decisions are helping to correct some of that because it is, 20 years probably since that's really been looked at.
Yeah, that was back.
And so,
Tomball,
really, there's not a lot of land left to develop. Some say about 15%. So, we need to get it right for the rest of it.
What size house is typically built on, say, 500 square feet, I suppose?
Probably looking, it depends if the rear setbacks are, but you're probably looking at 3,000-ish.
3,000 square feet. So the requirement for just two parking spaces. I mean, a 3,000 square foot house is going to have teenagers there, and there's going to be like five or six cars there.
Yeah, and that's standard for all single family districts, is the two off street. That does not include any space in the garage.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. Anybody else have any questions or anything? Thoughts?
Well, I just agree with what Craig said. I've seen so many PDs come, and they, in my opinion, are not the definition of a planned development, because they're to bring what is above and superior to any city's standards. And I think developers have just chosen that vehicle to get lots the sizes they want. Mm-hmm. So I think this definitely fills a need. And then beyond that, the city, as we know, has its development standards, and it goes to staff, and it eliminates a some busy work that we don't even need to have.
That's quite true. Commissioner Anderson, you don't think?
I'm good. I like it.
I mean, I like it. I think it's a good, happy medium. I'd like to see some more parks in some of these subdivisions because, man, we got a lot of little kids.
Right.
So, but I think so. So, anything else? Oops, sorry. Okay. Okay, all right. Would you, no more discussion or anything? All right, Ms. Kim, would you call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tagg.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay, F5. Conduct a public hearing in consideration to approve ordinance amendment OAM 24-2. Definitions and section 50-82 use regulations charts of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by adding standards pertaining to boarding home facilities. Staff, could we get your presentation, please?
Yes, this ordinance amends Chapter 50 zoning by modifying the definition of boarding home facility for consistency with Chapter 22, Health and Sanitation of the Tomball Municipal Code, and also for consistency with Section 260.001 of the State of Texas Health and Safety Code. The text amendment replaces the sheltered care facility that currently exists definition with the boarding home facility definition. Mm-hmm. I'll read you the definition or the proposed definition of a boarding home facility. Once again, this is in Chapter 22 and is consistent with the state. It's defined as an establishment that furnishes in one or more buildings lodging to three or more persons with disabilities or elderly persons who are unrelated to the owner of the establishment by blood or marriage and provides community meals, light housework, meal preparation, transportation, grocery shopping, money management, laundry services, or assistant with self-administration or medication, but does not provide personal care services to those persons. This definition would replace the sheltered care facility definition that currently exists that would be struck through and removed from the city codes. In the use charts, the only change we're proposing is just crossing through sheltered care facility and replacing it with boarding home facility with the definition I just read. All the districts would stay as the same. It would be able to be approved with a conditional use permit in the multifamily, general retail, commercial, light industrial, and Old Town and mixed use districts. With that, we recommend approval. This is just a cleanup item as what I'll call it.
Okay. Can you flip that to the use chart? Public hearing on zoning case OAM 24-02 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 7:36 p.m. All right. Do we have anybody who would like to speak regarding this request? If so, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Nobody.
All righty. Seeing none. The public hearing is now closed and the time is now 7:37 p.m. Okay, may I have a motion to approve zoning case OAM 24-02?
I move we approve OAM 24-02 ordinance amendment.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there a second?
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any questions of staff or discussion? Seeing none. Ms. Kim, would you please call the roll?
Lee Freeser. Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Tay.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I second.
Want to go on the record, I was cheated out of my motion to adjourn in our joint.
Yes, I noticed.
That is true, you're right.
Yes, that was.
So we weren't properly adjourned.
That's true, but we were.
I almost broke out your gavel.
Uh-oh.
Well, next time, let me know, I was sorry. Just don't break.
She was faster than you.
Who did second, Ms. Harris?
I did, yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris.
Yep.
Okay. So, motion carries or fails, Ms. Kim?
Can I call the roll?
What?
Can I call the roll?
Oh, yeah, I thought you did. You know what? Here, Ms. Kim is failing. She should put the roll call on here. It's not on my copy.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Tay.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn carries unanimously.
All right. Thank you. The meeting's now adjourned and the time is 7:38 p.m. Okay.
All righty. There you go. Take care.